Book of Proverbs, chapter number one. Book of Proverbs. You know, I appreciate the little things that get done. We say little things, but really, when it comes to God's work, I don't believe there's anything little. It's all big stuff, because it has to do with eternity. I've never put this up here on the platform. I think Doc still does this. I think he instructed Greg to come up and make sure it's up there so you don't have to walk up on the platform. But I was looking at this bottle, Doc. Hy-Vee natural spring water in a plastic jug. It's natural. We're strange in America, you know that. But I'd rather have it in a plastic jug than I would some of the other containers. I was thinking, what's more natural coming out of my plastic pipes in my house that have come through the steel pipes that have been in the ground for 50 years and whatever. Aren't you glad for water? Amen. Excuse me, I gotta wet the old whistler. Actually, the back of the throat. I could just jump in back there and just have it all ready to go. We'd be in good shape. Proverbs chapter number 1. Book of Proverbs chapter 1. I want to read verses 20 down to verse number 33. Chapter number 1, verse 20. I want you to imagine something here for a moment, because we're going to notice that wisdom, it says, crieth without. Here's wisdom. And wisdom is personified, made like a woman. So if you can kind of picture in your mind what's going on here, she crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gate. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this, your blessed word. Oh God, tonight I pray that you would enliven it in our hearts. Cause it to enrich our souls. Oh Lord, tonight I pray that you would just reach down and do a marvelous work in every heart. Help us to understand a very, very vital truth from this, your word, and make application in our lives. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. Wisdom is shown here as a woman walking in the business district of a city. We find, as we've read here, that she speaks basically to three different people. One is described as simple. One is described as a scornful person, a scorner. And the other, we find, is a fool. Matter of fact, if you would take some time and go through the book of Proverbs and take those three different personalities and also the word wise or wisdom, you could find that there are throughout this book a number of admonitions, teaching on these three, should I say four, kinds of different people: the wise, the simple, the scorner, and the fool. What we find here is she observes them going in the wrong direction and seeks to warn them of their error. But what do we see in this particular text? They keep on going in the wrong direction. And we find that there comes a point when she says, "Have it your way. You've chosen that direction, and I will not help you. If you turn back to me, I will laugh at you. The calamity you will experience will be all yours and yours alone. I will not participate with you any longer." I believe there comes that time in our lives that no longer is help available because we have refused it so long. But I want us to stop and look at something in this particular text that I believe is very important. And that is, I believe, a key to this story and a key to what wisdom does when wisdom speaks to us. I want you to notice here, if you look in verse number 23, if you look at verse 25, if you look at verse number 30, there's something that is very peculiar to these three verses. And that is, we find that the Scripture says this, "Turn you at my reproof." Verse number 25, it says, "And would none of my reproof." And in verse number 30, it says, "And they despised all my reproof." We find here that wisdom comes to speak. And wisdom does it in the means of reproof. Can I use another word tonight? Criticism. Wisdom comes with criticism. We notice that counsel and criticism are very much linked together in these verses. If you notice in verse number 23 again, he says, "I will turn up my reproof. I will pour out my spirit in you and make make known my words unto you." What are words in this case? What's his counsel or her counsel? Verse number 25 says, "Ye have set it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof." We see that here that God's trying to teach us, I think, something very, very particular. And that is, we must have criticism in our lives in order to take us in the route of wisdom. One of the things I've found in the ministry, not only my own personal case, but those who are in the ministry, many, many times we find ourselves having more criticism than others. Sometimes we laugh about, well, you know, we go to church and listen to the preacher and then go home and have fried preacher. Sometimes that's true. I have found that everybody's got their opinion about something, and a lot of folks are not afraid to state those opinions and let you know that you're thinking in the wrong direction. And we get criticism. All of us get criticism. But how we accept that criticism, how we accept that correction, I believe will determine the wisdom that we have. Notice again verse number 23. He says, "Turn you at my reproof. Turn at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit into you. I will make known my words unto you." All that we might allow God to use the criticisms that come our direction, that we might have a greater wisdom. I have in my mind's eye a coach that some of my kids had. I can see on the sideline this coach as the kids were playing ball and some of our school kids. And I can see this coach animated on the sideline. Well, I'll just tell you his name. His name's Dick Prettyman. And he'd get so animated on the sideline. And somebody'd do something wrong. And I mean, he'd scream at him and tell him, "Do it this way and do it that way." And run back and forth. And on a couple occasions, a Christian coach got a technical foul, because he got so animated about it. And what was he doing? He was criticizing those players. What was the purpose of it? To turn them in another direction, because they were doing it the wrong way. What parent does not criticize their child? What teacher does not bring criticism unto their students? and how foolish we are when we will not turn at reproof, but turn it away instead. Why is it that we reject wisdom's advice? Why is it that we don't like criticism? Why is it that we don't like somebody to say, hey, you're wrong? What is it about us that so often puts us in the position whereby somewhere down the road, wisdom is going to laugh at our calamity because we would not accept it? What is it about this? Why do we reject it? Why is we as God's people sometimes reject that criticism? Well, I think perhaps we like to be complimented and we hate to be criticized. We like compliments. We like folks to say how wonderful we are. We like folks to notice all the wonderful things that we do. And we want to be patted on the back. We love that sort of thing. And even though we try to act humble about it, we like it. I feel embarrassed sometimes when somebody says, boy, I appreciate the message. But at the same time, I like that. It's a blessing. And you're the same way. But we don't like criticism. Criticism's not easy to accept. And all too often, we don't respond well to it. But if we're going to be wise, we need to change our attitude toward it. We need to allow God to use it as He so desires to use it. Our attitude toward it can be so very, very important. And we need to see it as helpful admonishment from God. I believe David did when Nathan came to him and said, thou art the man. I believe that hurt deeply down inside of David. But we find David picking up his pen and writing out Psalm 51, that great psalm of repentance, because that's what took place in his heart. As he listened to that admonishment, as he listened to that criticism of what he had done wrong. On the other side of that fence, we find Nebuchadnezzar, who would not listen and spent 7 years like an oxen eating the grass out in the field and not knowing what is going on. I mean, talk about Alzheimer's and dementia. He was there for 7 years as he had denied any of the criticism that came his direction. Oh, we love to be complimented, but we don't like to be criticized. Wisdom often comes to us in unattractive packages. We don't like for somebody to tell us that we're wrong. Yet there's a fascinating story in the book of Numbers, chapter 22. It's about a guy named Balaam. And wisdom comes to him in the form of a donkey. That ought to teach us something, amen? And wisdom comes as that donkey sets down upon him, refuses to go any farther, and actually protects him from the death angel that is standing before him. It's a fascinating story. And yet oftentimes, that which seems to be unattractive, that which seems to be non-complimentary, is that which we need in our lives. We don't like to be criticized. We don't like to have those things said to us or about us. And usually we don't appreciate the people who are criticizing us. You know, there's a key to that, and that is to pay attention to what they say, not who says it. Amen. Sometimes I've had to address people on different issues and tell them that I was told this or this or this or that or some other thing that they had done in their life. And immediately, rather than allowing that thing that was said to enter their heart to make a change in their life, immediately they want to know who said it. What if we were more interested in the fact that there might be something wrong in our hearts and our lives? And the key to the response that we have is that we pay attention to what is said. Rather than being defensive, perhaps we need to ask ourselves, what can I learn from this criticism? I remember years ago, one of the first conventions I ever went to, Dr. Howard, who was the president of ACE, the school system or the system of materials that we use, he said this. He said, listen to your enemies. Listen to your critics, because they're probably telling the truth. and you can learn from those things. And so often that is the case. A lot of times our friends won't tell us. They don't want to hurt us. But those who are not so friendly to us, sometimes they're telling us what we need to learn. We fall dangerously close to being a scorner when we refuse criticism. Listen to this in Proverbs 13:1. He says, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke." Isn't that interesting? In chapter 14, verse 16, "A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth." Why does he not find it? Because he will not listen to that which is critical of what he's doing. There must be correction in our lives. And so often we will not listen to it and allow it to work in our hearts. Now, I'm not putting my stamp of approval upon critical people. Because there are a lot of folks that, I mean, they believe it's God's calling. They just say all kinds of critical things about everybody. And they believe it's God's calling to never say anything good about anybody. I'm not putting my stamp of approval on that. But I still believe in Romans 8:28, all things do work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. And God can use those kinds of people if we allow that to take place in our lives. We need to learn to pay attention and allow God to speak to us from those kinds of things. I believe oftentimes we do not recognize the priceless diamonds of wisdom that God is trying to give to us through this medium of criticism. I want you to go to verse 23 with me once again. He says, "Turn you at my what? Reproof." Wisdom is saying, "I've got some criticism for you. I've got something for you to, you need to understand." Verse number 22, he talked about those who were simple-minded, the scorners and the fools, and what was wrong in their life. He says, "Turn at my reproof. Turn at it. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." Notice here, he has for us a couple of very valuable gifts. If we will develop the proper attitude towards criticism. First of all, he wants to give us a spirit of wisdom. "I will pour out my spirit unto you." God wants to make us wise. I believe wisdom is the ability to make wise decisions. I differentiate between knowledge and wisdom. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen? Also says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, both those statements are true, but there is a difference. Knowledge, I believe, is the assimilation of facts, the assimilation of truth, as we gather information and place it in our minds. We can gain knowledge. But have you ever met somebody that had tremendous knowledge, but they couldn't find their way out of a wet paper bag? You know what I mean? They just do not know how to make decisions based upon that knowledge. That's what wisdom is. In my book, wisdom is the ability to take the knowledge that we have and make proper decisions as a result of it. And so the Lord wants us to gain from this, to learn from those criticisms. Every year, as I was growing up, my dad and mom would remodel something at our house. Every year there was another little project. And there'd be a room that would be picked out. One year we put a whole new room on the house. And every year we get into some sort of a little building project. My dad and mom had inherited the house from my grandmother, and now it was theirs, and it needed some help. Most houses need some help, amen? And so they began to do that. I remember the very first project we had. It was a very simple project, like most homes in the West End. It had a small living room. It had a small dining room. And then behind that was a kitchen. And, I mean, they were small, both of them. And so what did we do? We had this little archway. It was between the dining room and the living room. And that year we took that wall out, that little wall, and we made that into a big living room. And so we had this big, long living room now, and then the kitchen. The kitchen was big enough to put a table in, and we normally didn't have a formal dining room and so forth. And so that was what we did. And another year, we decided, because there was just two bedrooms and I was sleeping in the basement at this point, that they would fix another bedroom on the back. And so they built another bedroom on the back of the house. One year, we dug the basement out and finished that off and poured the concrete in that. Another year, we did this and that. I remember one year, we actually then made the kitchen larger by taking some of the living room now, and then we had a real nice kitchen. But we always had one of these projects. Every year, it was the same thing. I would get all these criticisms from my dad because I didn't know how to do anything. And I was dumbfounded. I mean, dumb had found me when it came to this kind of thing. I was pretty good in books. I got pretty good grades in school. But boy, I tell you what, pick up a hammer, I didn't know what that thing was for. Saw, we didn't have electric saws. We didn't have any. I mean, this was all hand stuff back in those days. And so Dad would have me helping, and he would be forever. I'm going to use the word curse, but I shouldn't use that word because he didn't cuss at me, but he cursed me. And he would tell me I was doing it backwards, and he would be telling me, boy, someday you're going to need to know how to do this. And I thought to myself, fat chance of that. Good share of life gone into building some buildings in later years. And what was he trying to do? He was trying to help me to learn some things and to make wise decisions with it. One of my first experiences with electricity was with a bobby pin. I learned, don't put one half in one side and the other half in the other side and hold on to it. Sparks fly and fingers get hurt. I learned from that. Nobody had to give me a criticism. It came in the form of ouch. But I learned to make good decisions concerning that afterwards. God wants us to what? Have that ability to make wise decisions. How does it come about? People are going to have to tell us we're doing wrong when we're making bad decisions. And if we're not willing to listen to it, if we're not willing to allow that criticism to come, then we're not going to gain from it. Is this making sense? But so often in our lives, we buck up when somebody brings some critical remarks about what we're doing. Notice, secondly, there's another gift that God gives us. I will pour out my Spirit into you, and I will make known my words unto you. Now, I look at that and I'm thinking of it, perhaps a little different what you're thinking of it, but the words of wisdom. Not only is there the ability to make wise decisions, but God then gives us the ability to help others to make wise decisions, to use words to bring them into the right spot in their life. Listen, there's consequences for not listening to criticism. Wisdom will laugh when you and I choose the way of folly. Wisdom will turn its back when we will not admit our mistakes and keep on going in our direction because we don't have the humility to say, hey, I was wrong and I need to redo this. And oftentimes we find that people continue in their original decision and they go farther into their folly, and wisdom laughs at their situation. Why is all this? Because we do not recognize what God is trying to do in our lives. Young people, I'm going to speak to you for a moment. It's not just for you. But oftentimes in your family, I'm sure you think, Mom and Dad, all they ever do is holler at me. I do so many things around here and they never say thank you. They never pat me on the back. All they see is those wrong things. Well, it might seem that way. But you ought to also understand, those criticisms are there from God to help you to learn to go in the right direction. And we need to also understand that we may have a lot of criticisms because we have a lot that needs to be fixed. Isn't that true of all of us? And so as they come our direction, whether it be on the job, whether it be in their homes, whether they be in church, whether they be in a Sunday school class, whether they be in school, wherever they might come from, we need to learn how to have the proper attitude toward them. And so often we buck at them. So often, because certain people made them, we reject them. When in fact, those people might be telling us better truth than those we consider as our friends. May I say to you tonight, it's a reason a lot of people don't get saved or move forward in their sanctification with the Lord, because when we get criticized and we refuse it, we're operating in the power of pride rather than humility. And we need to be able to say, hey, I'm wrong, that God might help us to fix it, or that God might fix it in our lives. Criticism can be very helpful. He says, turn you at my reproof. Do we like it? We would like to be able to be complimented all the time. Let's face reality. That's not going to happen, because we're imperfect individuals. And so when the criticism comes, we ought to pay attention to it, no matter who says it, and allow it to do its work in our lives, that we might, what? Have God change us. It's needful. I need it. You need it. We don't get up in the morning and say, oh God, I'm looking forward to whoever's going to be critical to me this morning. I haven't done that. I don't think you're probably going to do that. But we ought to be thankful that those things do come and we can change, and we can go in the right direction. Amen? We ought to be thankful for it, and that God allows that to take place in our lives. We ought to have the right attitude towards it, rather than bucking against it and being mad at everybody because of it. It will not help us any whatsoever. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, an area that we all deal with, an area we all wrestle with, an area we all have a very difficult time with, receiving criticism. Lord, far too often we ignore it because of the place it comes from, the manner in which it was delivered, the circumstance that showed itself, whatever it might be. Lord, we pass them by. And wisdom evades us, and calamity comes. Oh God, I pray that we not be in that spot where wisdom turns its back and laughs, but that we might allow your reproof and those things that are used in our lives from your word and from people to do its work. Lord, far too often we read your Bible and don't even allow its reproof to enter our hearts. How shameful of us. Lord, I pray that you would just move upon our hearts to allow you to use all of those things as they come to us. Lord, not to discourage us, not to beat us down, but God, that we might recognize them as building blocks, as steps to take to go upward, as that which is seeking to build us into a better individual. I pray that you help us to see and understand that. Lord, I also pray tonight that there may be one amongst us without Christ, one here tonight that doesn't know if they died, they go to heaven. I pray that you might open their hearts and their minds to the reality of their sinful soul. Lord, they might recognize it without you, they have nothing but an eternity in hell awaiting them. God, I pray you might awake them to righteousness. Help them to see the need of the hour is Jesus. Work in our hearts tonight, whatever the need might be, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.